I'm going to read from the introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is. This introduction is actually very important. More than 30 pages. And in it, Srila Prabhupada gives an overview of the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is. What are the subjects of this Bhagavad Gita? How it should be understood. And he finishes his introduction by quoting from and explaining the verses of one of the Gita Mahatmyas. So you can read from that. Gita Shasamidang Punyam Yath Partet Prayatah Puman Vishnu Paramabhapnoti Bhayashoka Divarjitaha. If one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be free from all the anxieties and miseries of life. This Gita Shastra, simply by studying this, one becomes pious. And one can, Bhayashokadi Vajita, one can go to the spiritual world, Vishnu Padma Bhavnati, one can attain to the spiritual world and be free from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. Gita Dhyayana Shilasya Pranayama Parasya Cha Naiva Santi Hipapani Purva Janma Kritani Cha. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Malane mochanam pungsang jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gita amritasnanam samsara malanashanam. One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganga water of Bhagavad Gita, Gita Amrita, Snanam, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Gita Su Gita Kartavya Kimanyai Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmabhinistrita. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. Bharatamrita sarvasvam Vishnu Vaktradvenistritam Gita Gangodakam Pipa Punarjanana Vidyate. One who drinks the water of the Ganga attains liberation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandanaha Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhukta Dugdam Gita Amritam Mahat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as the cowherd boy, Gopala Nandana, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantras Tasya Namani Yani Kamapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva. So I'll just read a literal translation. We'll go back later and see what Prabhupada says. That there should be only one Shastra. That should be Devaki Putra Gita, Bhagavad Gita. Only one God, Devaki Putra, Krishna. One mantra, his name, And only one work everyone should do is his service. So let's comment a little bit on this, following Prabhupada's commentary. There are other Gita Mahatmyas also. There's one very long one, lots of verses, and there are Mahatmyas for the individual chapters, but these are mostly Karma Kandiya. But if you read this Bhagavad Gita, if you read this chapter, you'll go to the moon or something like this. So this, which we've just read, this is a purely, this is the actual Gita Mahatmya. There are such Mahatmyas, they give the Phalashruti. You know what that means, Phalashruti? That means, it tells you what, by reciting this, you'll get this benefit. So there are such Gita Mahatmyas with the Phalashruti that you'll get some materialistic benefit. But we can understand this is only for very materialistic people. Am I supposed to be speaking in English, by the way? Is it? Last time I spoke in Hindi. English or Hindi? What's... Okay. Is there anyone who doesn't... You should say in Telugu, right? Anyone doesn't understand? Koi hai jo angreji nahi samajhta jaisa aapka heart uta hai. Agar koi hai, sharam ki baat nahi hai. Aapke liye anuvad ka prabandh ho sakta. Agar koi hai, nahi. Sab unat vyakti hai. Lachya bhasha jane wale. Aap hai. Or Telugu maybe, announce kisi. Agar koi hai. तो कम से कम इनके लिए अनुवाद का प्रबंध कीजिए. You can translate. Okay. So this is a purely devotional. Actually, the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita is only bhakti. So we say, well, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes karma, jnana, and yoga, and even our acharyas they accept that the first six chapters are focused on karma yoga, the last six chapters on jnana yoga, and the middle six chapters on bhakti yoga. But actually the only subject matter of Bhagavad Gita is bhakti, because Krishna does not recommend to do, or you may say he does do, but the ultimate conclusion is that bhakti is supreme. The only actually auspicious path, Shrestriting Bhaktim Udasyatevi Viho Klishanti Yek Kevala Bodha Labdhi. That example is given in the Bhagavatam, that anyone who gives up the path of bhakti, which is the actual path of Shreya or benefit, then they are a fool, and acting in a manner which is not beneficial for them. These two words are there, Shreya and Priya. The Shreya is generally taken as what is for our immediate benefit, and prayer is taken as what is not prayer, prarthana, but prayer, priyopanta, that which is for our ultimate benefit. But actually, the one who really knows, they know that Shreya and prayer is the same thing, because there's no benefit in anything but to serve Krishna. It's just an illusion that there's of any benefit for us whatsoever, but to serve Krishna. So, actually in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is only teaching to perform bhakti. And incidentally, he discusses karma and jnana, but just to show the superiority of bhakti. So the actual Gita Mahatma is not that by studying this you can get a good wives and good children and cows and land and all this kind of... The Shudra will be honored and the Vaishya will have lots of money and the Raja will have... This kind of Phalashruti is the... Raja will have many subjects and Brahmana will become very learned and that's not the real Phalashruti. The real Phal is to develop pure, unalloyed devotion to Krishna. So in Shastra, these different recommendations are given in different places. Even for studying Bhagavad Gita, they say you get this result, that result, but that is not the real result. That's just for enticing foolish people who don't know what is the real benefit to be had from studying Bhagavad Gita. So it's hoped that because they're interested in foolish things, it's hoped that by getting them to read Gita, they may, by reading, mostly they read, people who read the Shastra for some material benefit, they mostly do so in a very formal way. You find people, they'll chant the verses, because they say, if you recite this chapter, you get this and this benefit. And then sometime while they're chanting, they may start to think, what does that mean? It means I'm reciting this and I go to the heavenly planets. That's the punya I get. But it says here, I go to the heavenly planets and I come back again. Chaitam bhukva swagalok vishalam kshine punye marcha lokam vishanti. Evam chai dharma manu prapanagata agatam kama kama labhante. So you're just going up and down, and sometimes you may go up to heaven, down to earth, up to heaven, down to earth. You might just slip down a step also and go to hell. This is samsara chakrama. This is the way it works. So you may think, oh, what's up? What does that mean? And then you have to, what does that mean? And then you have to go back a bit to chapter 4. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatradarshana. Where then one should go, what does this actually mean, this Bhagavad Gita? I'm doing all this to go to the heavenly planets, but I go up and I come down again, and what's the value? And then dukhalayama shashvatam is simply a place of misery. What's going on here? At that point, one should approach a guru. Tadvijnanatam sagurum eva abhigacchet. Tadvijnan. For the sake of getting that knowledge, which knowledge? The knowledge which is beyond the world of birth and death. So karma and jnana, they keep us entangled in this world of birth and death. This jnana panta is very tricky because people think they're getting moksha from karma. But that's only partial. That's not complete. Jnana, the jnana mag without bhakti, they give moksha. But which kind of moksha? If we don't worship Krishna, then ye ye ravinda aksha vimuktaman in astrayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayaha aru arudhya kritshrena padam padam tatav patantyado narita yushvatanga. But that jnana mag, one has to take much difficulty, a lot of tapasya, very difficult. And by following that, gradually, 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 one may get free from the effects of tamagun and rajagun and go to the Brahma Jyoti. But because one's heart is not completely purified, one has neglected to worship Krishna, he falls down again. So this moksha is a kind of cheating for those who are cheating themselves by neglecting Krishna. They think I'm getting free from Maya, but they never actually got free at all. Because the basic principle of Maya is forgetting Krishna. And this jnana, you think, well, everything in this world is miserable, we have to practice austerities, we shouldn't engage in sense gratification. That's true, but what's the point? What's the underlying principle? They miss that altogether. So it appears as if they're liberated, but they're not. It's like, if you see the cat is playing with the mouse, and lets the cat lets the mouse go, and the mouse thinks I'm free, and the cat grabs it again, and throws it up, and a few times the mouse runs around a few times, and the cat gobbles it up. So like that, in jnana, you're in the position of a, in the jnana panta, you're in the position of a mouse who the cat lets go quite a long distance, and he's like, now I'm free, now I'm safe, and the cat gets you again. They're not actually free from Maya. They think that they're free from Maya, but they're not, because avishuddha buddhiha. Its consciousness is not actually purified. It seems to be pure. In one way, it can be said to be purified because they're not engaging in gross sense gratification. But they're not actually purified because they're neglecting to serve Krishna. So actual purification means to serve Krishna. An actual understanding of Bhagavad Gita means to understand that Krishna is teaching us that the only auspicious path is to surrender to Him. So the actual Gita Mahatmya means to glorify Bhagavad Gita as that which teaches us the path of bhakti. Krishna teaches us that which is for our highest benefit. So here it is recommended that Gita Shastridam Punyam Yak Patet Paratap Puman Vishnu Paramabhavnoti. Those who study Bhagavad Gita, they can go to Vishnu Loka. So that is the actual aim. Not to remain within this material world. Not to try to engage the words of Krishna for increasing our sense gratification, which is against our self-interest. That we shall perform, that we shall do Gita Paj, or we shall have Bhagavad Saptaha. From that we shall get some punya, and we shall live happily in this material world. That means we have no understanding. One should follow like Arjuna followed, as Prabhupada explains in this introduction. Bhayashoka divarjitaha. One can be free from all fear and lamentation by studying this Bhagavad Gita. Fear and lamentation, these are the two principal characteristics of material life. Always there's so much fear. Of course, in the big cities, we don't see so much, but if we go into the country, we see the birds, there's certain birds, or you see here in the city also, this chipmunk, that's a good example. You see, and they come in the city, always full of fear. Always looking here, always full of fear. Every moment of their lives, full of fear. So actually we are all, underlying our consciousness, everyone is full of fear and anxiety, because we don't know what our actual situation is, especially in the modern age. Everyone's full of anxiety. There's no surety of any position. And in the back of our, at least in the back of everyone's consciousness, is fear of death. Previously in America, people were very complacent. Now they've become very fearful. They're always afraid of some terrorist attack. They're so afraid that even in the letter in the post, they may open it and it may have some poison that will kill you. They're afraid of that. Anthrax or something it's called. And you go in the airport in America, you have to go like 3 hours early before a domestic flight because they put you through so much security check. People don't protest because they're afraid. You think, yes, this is good. Let there be so much security check. There's so much afraid. Living in an atmosphere of fear. America had a big shock. They were thinking that we're safe in America, but now they think we're not safe. Anytime the terrorists can get in. But even the foolishness is that we're never safe. In whatever situation we are, if we think that safe means no one is going to come and shoot me, no one is going to come and beat me, that's not safe. Because we have to die. We think, but now I'm well protected. But there is no army, there is no fort, there is no weapon that can protect us from death. The hand of death is omnipresent. When it's time for us to go, there's nothing we can do. You call the best doctors, call all the best doctors in the world with all the best medicine, when it's time for you to go, there's nothing they can do to help you. You offer them, you take 1 crore, take 5 crores, give me some injection that will keep me alive. They'll take your money, but they can't keep you alive. There's nothing they can do. The government cannot protect you. No one can protect you. You bring some tantrics to chant some mantras, they cannot do anything. They say, oh, very powerful tantric. America, we have a very strong army, or India, we have a very strong army to protect us from the Pakistanis. Who will protect us from them? No one can. When it's time to go, we have to go. We're not safe. There's no safe position. Therefore, sada samudvigna. We're always full of anxiety. Why, sir? Sada samudvigna diyo asadgrahat. We're always full of anxiety because we have accepted that which is asat. We've accepted this body as ourselves. We've accepted this material world as our place of residence. Asat yari satta karimani. We consider that which is temporary to be permanent. We think my home, my wife, my children, my country, mera bharat maham, these are all permanent. Nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary. Therefore, we're full of fear and lamentation. We're always, the two phases, this, the two things, we're always desiring something. We're always desirous of something that we don't have. And we lament for something that we lost. This is material life. But when one gets the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, one becomes fear from fear, desire, and lamentation. One becomes free from material desire. Becomes free from fear because he knows I'm not the body. I don't belong here in this world. I belong with Krishna. So there's no fear. Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rake. If Krishna protects someone, then no one can kill him. And if Krishna wants that someone will die, no one can protect him. That is the fact. So devotee is always protected. He feels himself in the protection of Krishna. Krishna protects his devotee. The devotee knows that whatever happens, Krishna is protecting me because Krishna promises. Again and again in Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chinta yanto mam yejanaf paryupasate tesha nitya abhiyuktanam yoga kshemam mahamyaham Ananyas cheta satatam yomam smarti nitya saha tasyaham sulabhapata nitya yuktasya yogayaham. Krishna promises, for one who always remembers me, I supply everything what they need. I help them in all respects. Yomam pashyati sarvatra savam chamai pashyati tasyaham napranashyami satame napranashyati. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to he and he is never lost to me. So, a devotee lives in the protection of Krishna. So, he has no fear. He knows Krishna is looking after him. He has no lamentation. What will he lament for? He can laugh, even if he loses the whole, even if he's a big king and he loses everything, he doesn't mind. There are so many kings in the history of India who they left behind their opulent kingdoms to search out Krishna. Because they know, what is the value of all this? Kingdom, palaces, elephants, prestige, jewels, honor. Rather, they think these are material attachments which are obstacles in my becoming attached to the real object of attachment, who is Krishna. Therefore, Chakra Turnam Ashesha Mandala Pati Shaining Sada Tuchabat. The 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, all from very aristocratic backgrounds, they all left all their aristocracy possessions, considering it insignificant. Bhutva Dina Ganesha Kokaruna Kopina Kantashrita. coming from very opulent backgrounds, but they lived a very, what you might call, seemed to be a very fallen, poverty-stricken kind of life, with just coping, langota and kanta, this kind of shawl made out of rags. So why did they give up their wealth to become poverty-stricken? No, they weren't poverty-stricken. They gave up all their wealth to get a much greater wealth. Gopi Bhavar... What is that? Gopi Bhavar... What is that verse? Uvadina Ganeshka Ganeya Gopi Nakantasha. Gopi Bhavar Sam Ritabdila Hari Kalola Magno Mahur Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguiva Shijiva Gopalako. They were always floating in the waves of the ecstasy of the gopis' love for Krishna. So much greater wealth. Sanatana Goswami, living in Vrindavan, chanting Hare Krishna. Meanwhile, there's one Sadhu Baba went up to Himalayas to do tapasya for Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva became very pleased with him and appeared to him and said, "What do you want?" "I want the most valuable thing in the world." "Okay, you go and see Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. He's got the most valuable thing." They went to see Sanatana Goswami. He's sitting there with kopin and kanta, that's all. And he doesn't look like he's got the most valuable thing. "You have got the most valuable thing in the world?" "Yes." "Can you give me?" "Yes." "Okay, give it." "All right, you see that pile of garbage in there? Look in there, you'll find one round ball. That's called sparsha money. You touch it to anything, it turns to gold. You can take it. And then go away and don't bother me anymore." "Okay, good, thanks very much." "Put it away, touch it, boom, turn into gold. Touch that, whoa, turn into gold." He thought, "Wait a minute, he's cheating me. There must be something more valuable than this. Otherwise, why did he give it away so easily?" Very intelligent. So I went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, "You're cheating me." He said, "Yes, you're right, I cheated you. You have something more valuable." "Yes." "So what is it?" "Well, first of all, you throw that sparsha money away, then you can get it." "Okay, throw it away." "What is it?" "Come down, sit down with me and sit and chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare." Do you believe this? You believe?
Yes.
Most valuable thing is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then don't try to be materially ambitious and be Krishna conscious. The two things won't go together. You want Krishna or not? What do you want? You want Krishna or Maya? So, it's not that you have Krishna sometime and Maya sometime. Not like that. Mostly Krishna and a little bit of Maya. Not very much, just a little bit. No. Krishna is known as Akinchan Dhan. He is the wealth of those who have nothing else. Sanatana Goswami had nothing, but he had Krishna. He had everything. He didn't need anything else. So, Janmaishwarya Shuddha Srivir Edamana Madhapuma Naivahatavitatum, right? Swam Akinchana Gochana. Kunti Devi. Just see her position. Mother of the Pandavas. The Pandavas had everything. Emperors of the world. And then suddenly nothing. And then again they got everything. But as far as they were concerned, their everything was Krishna. So our everything should be Krishna. For the materialist, their everything is wealth, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri. If we can have birth in a high family, money, well educated, what is your educational qualification? Very important question in India. You'll put on your card, all your different qualifications, Janmaishvarsha and good looks, one should be very good looking, go to the beauty parlor and put on fair and lovely cream. Well, now they have fair and handsome cream also. It's the same thing, it doesn't work either for men or women, but they're trying to sell it to the men also now. And put on different jewels and makeup and so many things. And actually, you can be very beautiful in Krishna consciousness. Real beauty comes from the soul. However much makeup and fair and lovely cream you put, and you go to the gym or you go to the beauty parlor, have some mud put on your face and all this kind of thing. Spend 500 rupees to put some mud on your face. But it's hollow. You see, from that, what's that Muslim lady's name? What is it? Oh, whatever it is. I'm not very good at Muslim name. So it's hollow. It's got her name on the packet, you see, so I should become beautiful. So 500 rupees to put some Muslim mud on your face. And forget Krishna. Devotees aren't interested in these things. Devotees want only Krishna. Krishna is so much valuable, more valuable. Sanatana Goswami, the gold. What was he interested? Already he had all that. He had so many things. He was the prime minister, the fabulously rich, of the, under the Nawab. So they were very rich in those days. The British, the Dutch, the Portuguese, the French, they were all coming to Britain and fighting with each other for the privilege of looting India. India was very rich. So Sanatana Goswami is very rich. He left all that. What is the use? No, I want to chant Hare Krishna. So this, if we have this mentality, then we can get Krishna. But if we think, I shall also enjoy this material world, then we can't get Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us that the only... Bhagavad Gita means Krishna teaches us, because Krishna teaches Bhagavad Gita, that the only desirable object is to attain Krishna. Sometimes devotees say that, well, bhakti is the most important thing in my life. That means you don't have any bhakti. If you say it's the most important thing in life, that means you have other important things. But bhakti means, actual bhakti means, anya vilashita ashram, nothing else. Only serving Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada often used to say that, well, you can have the best of both worlds also. Because if we tell everyone immediately that you only have bhakti and nothing else, then it's a big transition for most people to go from attached materialist to fully detached Paramahamsa in one step. So Prabhupada often used to say, you can have nice house, nice wife, nice food, nice everything, nice family, and be a devotee. That's true. It's not untrue. But at the same time, one shouldn't think that the main thing is to have nice wife, nice house, nice car, nice this, that, and the other, and also a little bit of Krishna. Krishna is blessing me for material enjoyment, not like that. But rather, if you have all these facilities, that should all be dedicated only for Krishna's pleasure. That's the difference. That's the difference between being an attached, materialistic householder and a devotee householder. That the attached householder lives in his house thinking that this house is mine and everything in the house is for my pleasure, and we also worship God and He blesses me so I can enjoy my material life. But a devotee householder, his attitude is manasa deho geho jokichuwa apinun tuapade nandikisho. That whatever I was thinking is mine, my mind, my body, my house, everything. Actually, I've offered everything to you, Krishna, because everything is yours. So, there's so many wonderful verses here. Gita adhyayana shila sya pranayama prasicha naiva santi papani purva janma kutani cha. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Prabhupada comments here, the Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita. Says very loudly. That means he's talking to Arjuna. And certainly Krishna, we can understand from the language, Krishna is speaking in a forceful manner to Krishna, to Arjuna. It's not just a kind of relaxed discussion, but Krishna is speaking very forcefully. We can imagine how, maybe just to give some kind of example, I'm now speaking in, or mostly people when they speak on Bhagavad Gita, they speak in a somewhat forceful manner, isn't it? Because the subject matter itself is very powerful, and it's something that we have to communicate, that this is something we need to know. This is not just something that, you know, it's just some polite discussion. How are you? How are your children? And it's not like that. But we're talking something very serious and with conviction. So Krishna is speaking like that to Arjuna. Kutastra kashvelanida. Krishna's first words, he speaks to the lamenting Arjuna. Kutastra kashvelanidam. Vishame samupastitam. Anarya jishtam asvagyam. Akirti karam Arjuna. That how are these? What nonsense you're speaking? How has these contaminations come upon you? You're not speaking like an Arya. You're not speaking like a civilized person who knows the highest goal of life. You're speaking like some barbarian. This is not befitting you. This does not lead to auspiciousness. This does not lead to the higher planets. This leads to infamy. So Krishna is speaking forcefully. But Prabhupada says here, at the end, in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, he speaks very loudly, more so, as he speaks the message, the essence of the message he has to give to Arjuna. He says to Arjuna very loudly, for more emphasis, Sarvadhamam parityaja, mamekam sharanam raja, aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. Abandon all varieties of that which you have conceived of as religion and come to the actual point of religion, which Krishna says is to surrender to. You'll be free from all sinful reactions. You're afraid of sinful reactions. Ahobata mahatpapa. Arjuna was lamenting that we have to. We'll become greatly sinful by engaging in this warfare. But Krishna said, no, by surrendering to me, you'll be free from all sinful reactions. So, he had said that if we study Gita seriously, we become free from all sinful reactions. So studying Gita seriously, again, is not just a matter of reciting it like a parrot or a machine. Not like that. What is Krishna saying? We should try to understand and act on that principle. Then we can get free from sinful reactions. It's not that just by reciting it as a religious formality. Of course, that will also get benefit because Gita is so powerful. So we'll get at least some benefit by mechanically reciting Gita. But actual benefit will come if we sincerely and seriously try to understand what is the message of Bhagavad Gita and apply that in our lives. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given this Bhagavad Gita as it is, which if we see the actual Bhagavad Gita, you can get the Gita Press edition. It's like this tiny little book. You can have the whole Gita. You can put 10 in your pocket. And here you have Bhagavad Gita. How has it become so big? Because Prabhupada is explaining in detail what we foolish people can't understand, what Arjuna could understand, but we are not as advanced as Arjuna. So Prabhupada is explaining each verse so that we can understand what is the actual purpose what is Krishna actually communicating to us, because we have the tendency to misconstrue and misunderstand. So Prabhupada is explaining exactly what Krishna is communicating to us for our benefit, and we have to study this very carefully, and then we will get the benefit of doing so. Now, we find most Hindus, or at least those who are not just Hindu by birth, but actually consider themselves Hindu and are practicing Hindus of some sort or other. Practicing Hindu means they may go to a temple once a week or something, or wave a little agarbatti at their telephone if they have an STD booth, or they do something religious. They consider I'm a Hindu. So they all have a copy of Bhagavad Gita in their home. Isn't it? Every Hindu has a copy of Bhagavad Gita in their home. And even many nowadays have Bhagavad Gita as it is in their home. But there are very few who really have any idea what is in the Bhagavad Gita. They just keep it as some kind of talisman, it's called. What's that word? Tabiz. It's just like mangal ke liye rakhte. So you put some mantra and you put it in there and you do, okay, now it's there. I'm okay. So you have Bhagavad Gita in your home and it's there. And I'm reading Deccan Chronicle every day, but I haven't got the faintest idea what's in Bhagavad Gita. But you'll still get some benefit by having it in your home, but you'll get a lot more benefit if you pick it off the shelf and read it. Of course, if it's an edition of Bhagavad Gita as it isn't, by Swami Aparadananda or someone like this, then better you don't read it. Better you cook some chapatis on it or something. And Swami Aparadananda will also get some benefit if you offer the chapatis to Krishna. But actual benefit will come by studying Bhagavad Gita. You have to read. Just like here, malam malini mochanam pumsam jalas snanam dine dine. We take bath every day. Of course, now Indians are becoming more modern, and so they may not take bath every day, especially in the winter. But any civilized person takes bath at least once a day. But that way only the body gets somewhat clean. But what about the soul? You're washing off the dirt and the stink and all this. But what about the cleaning the soul from calm, crowed, low, Muhammad, Matsa? Still dirty. Took a bath, but still dirty. I'm clean. You're not clean. I'm clean. You're not clean. Well, where's the dirt? It's right there. How are you going to clean that? Then you have to sakriti tamrita snanam samsara malanashana. We have the dirt of material contamination that will be cleansed. Here it says sakriti tamrita snanam. If we take bath even once in Bhagavad Gita, so this is often misunderstood to mean that okay, just read it once and then everything finished. Years ago, I remember in Calcutta, our hired accountant, ISKCON Calcutta. He said, I went to Ganga Sagar Mela and took snan. So that's it, finished. You get moksha, so I don't have to do anything else in my life. And foolishness. If we've actually read Bhagavad Gita once, then we'll read it every day. Because we'll have a taste for reading. Actual reading of Bhagavad Gita is accepting Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna accepted it. Sarvame tadritang man ye yang man madasi keshava. Arjuna said, I accept everything that you say, Krishna, and therefore I will do as you say. Nashto moha smriti labdha tvat prasada mayachusa stito sri gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. If we have actually understood Bhagavad Gita, if we have actually read Bhagavad Gita, then like Arjuna, we should be able to say that, yes, Achyuta, you who never fall down like me, now my illusion is dispelled, I know what I'm supposed to do by your mercy, I'm free from all doubts, I'm fixed in my duty, and therefore I shall do according to what you want, about what are your orders. That is actual understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And unless and until we come to that platform, we haven't actually understood Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we have to regularly study Bhagavad Gita, as it stated here. Gita sugita kartavya kilanyai shastra vistara ya swayam padmanabhasya mukha padmanabhasya. That this Gita should be recited very nicely, very carefully. What is the need of studying other shastras in Gita? There are so many shastras. But shastra means Veda Narayanam Sakshat. Veda comes from Narayana. That is Apurusaya. That means it doesn't come from any material person. It comes from Narayana. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is the path given by Bhagavan. So there are so many shastras. But this particular shastra, Bhagavad Gita, this is direct. The Vedas, they emanate from the breathing of Lord Narayana. But this is directly spoken by Lord Krishna himself. And he says, Iti yur hyatamam shastram idam uktam mayanaga, that now I have spoken to you, Arjuna, this which is the most confidential of all shastras. So Krishna himself is directly giving the essence of all shastra, which is Bhagavad Gita. So this in itself is sufficient for understanding everything. Of course, if we have understood Bhagavad Gita, then we will want to go on to the complementary shastra, which is also non-different from Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, we can say, is introductory to the science of God, and Srimad Bhagavatam is in detail Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan, science of God. But the point here is that there is no use to study hundreds and thousands of shastras and not understanding any of them. If we understand Bhagavad Gita clearly as it is, then all our, as Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, that, what is that? Udapa name? What is that verse? He says that just, I can't remember. Anyway, he says that Yavanartho Dapana Sarvata Samplito Dikhi. I completely forgot it. Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanataha. Yes, so just as the great body of water serves the purposes of all small, you don't have to go. Just like in the village, they have, traditionally in the village, they have one well for washing pots, and one well to be used for puja water, one well for bathing, one well for drinking water, different water. But if you have one large body of water, that can serve all purposes. So we don't need to go to this shastra, that shastra, another shastra. You get everything from Bhagavad Gita. Bhavatamrita sarvasvam. This is the nectarian essence of Mahabharata. Whole Mahabharata. So many important instructions are there. But the jewel in the crown of Mahabharata is this Bhagavad Gita. Vishnu Vaktrat Vinistrita. Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punar Janmana Vidyata. This is the essence of Mahabharata spoken by Bhagavan Vishnu. So, if we drink this Gita Ganga, the water of the Ganga is the most pious river, but the Gita is even more valuable. Ganga comes from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, and Gita comes from the lotus mouth of Lord Vishnu. So, these instructions are even more powerful, because Ganga can purify after a long time. But Gita, if we actually hear properly, then immediately our life can be changed. Punarjanmanavikita. No more birth and death. Then Sarva Panishado Gavo Dogda Gopalanandanaha Vatsa Parata Sudhir Bhukta Dugdam Gita Amritam Mahat. Very nice example that all the Upanishads are the Jnana Kanda or the Vedanta, summary of the knowledge of the Vedas. So here the Bhagavad Gita is compared to all the Upanishads are present in the figurative cow that is Bhagavad Gita. So the cow is there, Bhagavad Gita, with all the essence of the Vedic knowledge. And the cowherd boy who is extracting the milk is Krishna, Gopala Nandanaha. And to get the milk from the cow, first you bring the calf, isn't it? First the calf drinks the milk, and then you take more. So the calf is Arjuna. And then after the calf takes, and then everyone else takes. So Sudhir Bhukta. Who are the others who can, apart from Arjuna, who are the others who can drink this milk? Sudhir. Those who are, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, or Arjuna as Krishna, Siddha Pragyasya Kabhasha, Samadhi Stasya. Then Krishna, who is the Siddha Pragya, who is the person fixed in knowledge? Then Krishna replies, what is that? I forgot. No brain. Anyway, Krishna says, who has given up material desires? Who is Sudhir? Who is Stitha Pragya? So one who is very steady in his consciousness, they can understand. Steady in consciousness means, as again Krishna gives the example in Bhagavad Gita, that a lamp in a windless place, it doesn't flicker. Arjuna told Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Chantalang himanah Krishna, Pramati balavadrita. That this mind is chanchal, it's always flickering here and there. But Krishna gave the example, yata dipa nivatasto ningate sopamasmita. The steady mind is like you have a lamp, a flame burning, and there's no wind, and it burns very nicely, so very clear and steady. There's so many examples are given in Bhagavad Gita, very nice for our spiritual advancement. Krishna gives many, many examples. Arjuna also gives. So Sudhir, those who are very steady-minded, they can understand this Bhagavad Gita. And what is the milk of the milk is the nectar of Krishna's instructions. Therefore, ekam shastram devaki putram gita. There should be one shastra. Bhagavad Gita, Devaki Putra Gita. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. One God. No need of going this temple, that temple, so many temples. Come to Krishna. Eko Mantras Tasya Namani Yani. There should be one mantra. The name of Krishna. And Kamapye Kam Tasya Devasya Seva. And one work serving Krishna. So Prabhupada summarizes very nicely. In the present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, ekam shastram devaki putra gitam. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko devo devaki putra eva. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko mantras tasya namani. And one hymn, one mantra, one prayer, the chanting of his name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kamapye kam tasya devasya seva. And let there be one work only, the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please, study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. If you don't have it in your home, then you should have it in your home. And if you have it in your home, it should not only be on the shelf, you have to study it every day. And even if we've studied many times, and even if we're reading so many other books, we have to read Bhagavad Gita as it is regularly. Because Bhagavad Gita gives us the most practical direction. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. It's not armchair philosophy. It's not that we have a little time for the battle. What shall we do? Shall we play tiddlywinks? Or shall we shoot a few birds for fun? Or let's talk some philosophy. Not like that. It's a very serious undertaking that Arjuna needed some practical advice, and Krishna gave it on the basis of his knowledge, actual knowledge, the essence of all knowledge. There wasn't time to discuss intricacies of so many different hair-splitting philosophies. Krishna gave him the essence of all knowledge in this Bhagavad Gita. So we'll find as our practical guide in our lives, Bhagavad Gita is the best of all books. We should regularly study. For preaching also, we want to communicate Krishna consciousness to others. Then the best basic book of spiritual knowledge for teaching people or telling them what are the basic principles of spiritual life, Bhagavad Gita. We find Srila Prabhupada, world acharya, savior of the whole world, he was preaching everywhere. Mostly he preached Bhagavad Gita. And then also he quoted a lot from Bhagavatam, but mostly Bhagavad Gita. So please study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. If you have any other editions in your house, please donate them to me. And you can purchase this Bhagavad Gita from us, and I'll look after your other editions. I won't be here, but you can give them to the devotees. I'll tell them what to do with them. These other editions are not only useless, worse than useless. Because if they don't teach Bhagavad Gita as it is, they must be teaching some word jugglery, something cheating in the name of Bhagavad Gita. So please study Bhagavad Gita as it is. Live your life according to Bhagavad Gita as it is. And as Krishna promises, as is promised here, that we can go to Krishna and come out of this stinking material world and live happily with Krishna forever by following Bhagavad Gita as it is. Hare Krishna. So any question, please? No question. Everyone's fully convinced, or they didn't understand anything you said. Yeah, please. Do we have a cordless mic? You have? Well, could you bring it? It would be useful. That's also just kept on the shelf. All right, please ask. Speak loudly. Speak more loudly, so then I don't know.
Krishna says, abandon all dharma. Please elucidate on that.
Please elucidate on abandon all dharma. Yeah, this has to be understood in context, because if we understand what dharma is, then actually it's not possible to abandon all dharma, because the dharma is intrinsic. With everything has its dharma. The dharma of sugar is sweetness. The dharma of fire is heat. So when Krishna says sarva dhamman parityaja, that means to give up all extrinsic dharmas, or everything that is conceived of dharma, of as dharma, but which isn't. And Krishna says mam ekam sharanam raja. That is the actual dharma of the jiva. So give up all variety of religion means to surrender to Krishna. That's what it means. Yeah.
I had a bit tricky doubt from a friend. He said the whole world is running on only, it's going on only one thing. It's a force of attraction and repulsion what is going on. It's nothing other than that. What is your religion?
Your friend said that the whole world is only running on attraction and repulsion, and there's nothing more than that. So what is my reply to him? Why should we reply to him? Why should we believe your friend? What does he know?
He's
He's not God.
Like he just had doubt over him. I cannot help his doubt over him. I just want to know.
Well, why? So what? I can say the whole world is running on because there's a powerful electric mouse sitting under the earth, squeaking, and every time he squeaks, the wind blows. And so the absolute truth is a powerful electric mouse. You can say anything. Why take it seriously? Just because someone said, so what? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Well, this is what we... This we accept. Otherwise, why should you get confused? So many people have come with so many theories, and then, well, why should you even begin to take it seriously? Hear what Krishna says. Someone said, oh, someone, oh, who? If that someone isn't Krishna, or Krishna's representative, then why should we even take it seriously? So many people say so many things. First we should see, what is their qualification to speak? If someone's going to give a lecture on atomic physics, you see, first of all you have to see, what are his qualifications? I'm a +2 pass. And I'm going to give a lecture on atomic physics. And why should you take... I have a new theory of atomic physics. Oh, really? So you're a PhD? You're saying, no, I have a +2 pass, but I have my own theory. And why should anyone take him seriously? So anyone can say anything, but why take it seriously? What's their qualification to speak? So, anything else? Yeah, speak in the mic. Well, start again so everyone can hear. Please say.
Bhagavad Gita is Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga.
Yeah.
And how come this Bhakti Yoga is Karma system?
Well, then you have to read Bhagavad Gita and see. Because Krishna discusses Karma and Jnana. But he clearly establishes bhakti as the topmost path. Krishna says, bhaktya mama vijanati. I can be known by bhakti. He doesn't say by karma or jnana. He says, yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamam. That there are many different kinds of yogis, but the best yogi is one who is fixed in worshipping me with faith, the bhakti yogi. So it's very clear, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, sarvadhamman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, giving up all other dharmas, you surrender to me only. So it's very clear that Krishna is establishing bhakti as the only auspicious path. It's not me who's sitting, it's Krishna. Okay, so we'll finish there. I have to go and give another lecture somewhere else.
Artificial renunciation in Krishna consciousness will help.
Artificial renunciation in Krishna consciousness, will it help? There is no artificial renunciation in Krishna consciousness. If it's artificial, then it's not Krishna consciousness. So everything has to be understood. Krishna consciousness means to come to the platform of reality. So, if it's artificial, that means it's not under the direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So it's not in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness means following that given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So we might think it's Krishna consciousness, but it's not. Krishna consciousness is reality. It's not art. It's nothing artificial. You like to announce? Please give this. So, who has not got Bhagavad Gita as it is Yatharup, Yathatata, in their home? Please raise your hand and we'll put one Bhagavad Gita in it. And you can put your other hand in your pocket and bring out the money to pay for it. And that will be the greatest thing that ever benefited you in your life. Who doesn't have Bhagavad Gita in their home, as it is? Everyone has. Really? Don't cheat. In the temple, you should only speak the truth. Everywhere, but especially in the temple. Who has read Bhagavad Gita as it is, front to back? At least once. You see, everyone has, but they haven't all read it. So get that Bhagavad Gita off your shelf, into your hands, and read it.